This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ruth. And now here's Pastor Sandy in Ruth chapter 2 with today's edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Hey, did you hear about the young man? He said to his sweetheart, he said, "Darling, I'm not really wealthy and handsome, and I don't have a mansion and a Mercedes and a yacht, you know, like Gerald Green. But honey, I love you. I love you, baby, with all my heart." And the girl looked at him and said, "Well, I love you too, sweetheart, but would you tell me more about this Gerald Green?" "Well, Boaz was a Gerald Green, a Hebrew heartthrob, a barley baron, and an eligible bachelor to boot. Many a girl would have loved to have had Boaz as a beau. And what makes this situation even more intriguing is that Boaz is related to Ruth. He was the Goel, or the near kinsman. And according to Hebrew culture, it was the obligation of a family member to take his brother's widowed wife and raise up a child to preserve the deceased brother's lineage. The Hebrews called it the law of the Levirate marriage. Levir is the Hebrew word for brother-in-law. Deuteronomy 25, you can go back tonight and check it out, gives us all of these details. Now remember, when Ruth left Moab, she must have assumed that she was forfeiting her best opportunity for marriage just to remain loyal to Naomi, but that wasn't the case. You see, it's just like God to reward a person who puts commitment before convenience and loyalty ahead of liberty and acts on devotion, not just emotion. God is prone to bless the person who forfeits a privilege to remain true to a principle. Always remember that. The meaning of the name Boaz is also interesting. It means Lord of the harvest. And guess who Boaz represents in our allegory? Jesus is our Lord of the harvest. Well, verse 2 tells us, "So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers." Now, the Israeli welfare system was different from ours. It was more than just passing out checks. When a field was harvested, the landowner was required to leave a little behind for the poor. But it was then the poor's responsibility to go out into the fields behind the workers and glean or gather the leftovers. And this is why Ruth goes out to glean. And notice what happens, what we're told in verse 3. "And she happened," notice that, "and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech." Notice, she just so happened. Of course, nothing just so happens. God is sovereign. Our Father superintends all events. You know, the rabbis had a saying, coincidence is not a kosher word. Every roll of the dice, every bounce of the football, hey, every turn of the hurricane is determined by God's providence. Proverbs 16, verse 33 puts it best, "The lot is cast in the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. There is no such thing as happenstance. God is at work behind the scenes, orchestrating situations to accomplish his purposes." And here, the Holy Spirit is playing Cupid. He's at work on Ruth's behalf. "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant, who is in charge of the reapers," wow, who's the girl? Hey, when Boaz comes home, guess who catches his eye? He rushes to the foreman in charge of the gleaners and he asks about the new girl. Who's the beautiful babe, man? Obviously, God is not just working in Ruth's heart. God is working on the other side of the equation in Boaz here too. And so the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. In other words, Boaz, she's not only good looking, she's hard working. What a combination, good looking and hard working. I married a woman just like that. Ruth was gorgeous, even in work clothes. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. I want you in my field, young lady. Boaz instructs Ruth to glean only in his field. And of course, this was not only because Boaz loved her and was looking for maybe an opportunity to get to know her better, but this was for Ruth's protection as well. Boaz knew that some of those other landowners, they were not just landowners, they were playboys, and they would try to harvest Ruth. Stay in my field. Verse 9. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And Boaz had been very clear with all his workers. This girl was off limits. For Boaz, it must have been love at first sight. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Boaz offers Ruth both protection and some provision also. And so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. You know, this loyal, you know, the word gets around. And he commends her for her loyalty. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, and he even invites Ruth up to the hacienda for dinner. She is getting some special treatment here. This is no ordinary gleaner girl. Boaz offers her, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her and she ate and was satisfied and kept back some. Her stash was for Naomi. She's going to take some back to her mother-in-law. Verse 15. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz, this is wonderful. You just listen. This is wonderful. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. In other words, even if Ruth starts to glean what hasn't yet been harvested, guys, don't stop her. Just let her. In fact, what I want you to do is kind of get out in front of her and toss out a few bundles of grain on purpose just to make it easier for Ruth. In other words, show her some grace. Give her more than she can earn. That's how we're going to treat her. And all this and more is how our Boaz, our Lord Jesus, chooses to treat us. We caught his eye long before we decided to follow him. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And he wants us to glean only from his fields. Jesus wants to be the sole source and sustenance of our needs. He is all that we need. He wants to satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. Jesus offers you and I protection, a place at his table. He even delights in tossing out little bundles of blessing for you to glean, little bundles of purpose and blessing in the course of your day, just to make it easier for you. He delights in doing that kind of thing. Grace governs how he treats us. Isn't that great? Give her more than she can earn. That's what Jesus is saying tonight. Hey, just give those people down at Calvary Chapel. Just give them more than they can earn, more than they deserve, because I love them. That's how Jesus treats you. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah is close to a bushel. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. Boy, had she. And so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Girl, you hit the jackpot. Blessed be the one who took notice of you." Naomi sees immediately that Ruth has caught somebody's eye. She is the beneficiary of somebody's special interest. Hers was not the typical gleanings. Verse 19, so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And I can picture Naomi in my mind, kind of like Fred Sanford when he used to get one of those heart attacks. She almost flirts with a coronary, man, I'm telling you. Boaz! Naomi jumps for joy. This is her relative. And the wheels start turning. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." And the mother-in-law's mind goes to work. Naomi's hearing wedding bells in her head. She too knows the law of the Liverite marriage. But Boaz is the Lord of the harvest, and the barley still needs to get harvested. And Naomi knows that the nuptials can't begin until the barley harvest is complete. And so she tells Ruth to chill. That's interesting. We too are in the middle of a harvest, are we not? A harvest of souls. And Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, of our harvest. And at the moment, there's work to do. But one day, when the barley's in the barn, when all the brothers and sisters and the family of God and the church is complete, Jesus will come for his bride and the wedding will begin. In the meantime, though, we need to be patient and we need to help the Lord complete the harvest. Verse 21. Now Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close to my young men, until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field.' So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law." Now in chapter 3, Ruth and Naomi get tired of the barley, and they want the Boaz. Naomi, the wise mother-in-law, knows that the time has come for Ruth to make a bold move. By the way, have you seen the commercials that promote bold moves for women? The one young lady, she's in her car and she's pulling up to the laundromat. She sees the good-looking guy in the car behind her, and so she says, "I want to pay for a couple of his shirts too. Give him my phone number." A bold move. Then there's another commercial with a mother and her daughter. They're mustering up courage to jump off a waterfall, make a bold move. Well, the idea that women should make bold moves, that's an old idea. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what Naomi suggests to Ruth, that she make a bold move. It's the end of the harvest, and she knows where Boaz will be. He has only a short time to process the grain, and so he'll be sleeping down at the threshing floor. Verse 1 tells us, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative, our kinsman redeemer? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor.'" I don't know, maybe she'd sent out spies, I'm not sure, but She probably just knew that's where the Lord of the harvest usually was during harvest time, at the threshing floor. The threshing floor was a large outdoor pavilion where the oxen would move around in circles and beat down the grain and process the wheat. And the men would sleep at the threshing floor during the harvest to protect the crop from thieves and from wild animals. Well, Naomi tells Ruth, "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment." You see, the mother-in-law's got a big plan here. "And go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Get him dinner, get him home, get him something to eat, get him something to drink, you know, pamper him a little bit, then hit him up for the new credit card. No, I'm just kidding. "Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Now it's time to apply some feminine wiles. God's plan and a little female charm are about to link arms. And here's Naomi's plan. Ruth needs to doll herself up, take a bubble bath, dab on some Chanel No. 5, put on a designer dress, and then slip down to the threshing floor. And after Boaz eats his dinner and settles down for the night, Ruth needs to slip in quietly, uncover his toes, and lie at his feet until he awakes. You see, exposing his toes in the middle of the night will ensure that the cold air will come in and it'll wake him up. Cold toes wake you up. And then he'll notice Ruth. You know, I like this strategy, because it's also how we can abide and rest in Jesus Christ. Same strategy works for us. First, make sure you're washed. If you've never been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the first step. And not only do you need to be washed with the blood of Jesus, as we talked about this morning, you need to wash your mind with the rinsing and cleansing of the Word of God. Wash your mind and thoughts with God's Word. And then make sure you're anointed. Dab on a little of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Spirit. Trust in the Spirit. Ask Him to fill you and overflow you with God's presence and God's power. Then make sure you're dressed for success. Put on Christ. Start to form a new identity. Learn to see yourself as God sees you, as holy, as righteous, as blameless, as a joint heir with Jesus, as a child of God. Realize you're a new creation in Christ. And then fourthly, make sure you just lie down at Jesus' feet. Rest at His feet. Humble yourself before the Master. Spend time in His presence. And then do whatever He tells you to do. Verse 5. "And Ruth said to her, 'All that you said to me sounds good to me. I'll do it.' And so she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, cold toes did the trick, and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet." Now this is a bold move for a woman at this time in this culture, no doubt about it. Ruth proves that she's a liberated woman. She follows Naomi's instructions exactly. The cold toes work. Surprise, surprise, Boaz wakes up, and there's Ruth lying at his feet. And she asks him, or he asks her in verse 9, "Who are you?" Probably a little dark, couldn't tell. So she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." And this phrase, "take your maidservant under your wing," or more figuratively, under the corner of your cloak or under your garment, was the equivalent in ancient times of a marriage proposal. This is a bold move. Ruth is popping the question to Boaz. Verse 10. Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Why is it that some girls think they have to compromise their morals and lower their standards just to get a guy? Girls, what a lack of faith. A woman of faith won't be a flirt. Ladies, God has a Boaz for you. He's got a Matthew McConaughey or a Denzel Washington picked out just for you. And he's a Christian, no less. But you've got to trust the Lord. And you need to be a virtuous woman. Don't forget, a virtuous man isn't out looking for a floozy. He wants to marry a woman with a good reputation. A virtuous man wants a virtuous woman. A woman that he knows is good and godly. And Ruth had gained that kind of reputation. And it's one of the reasons that Boaz was attracted to her. Ladies, I hope you have more faith than a lot of other women these days. Don't lower your standards. Don't drop your morals. Trust God to bring you your Boaz. Boaz responds to Ruth in verse 12. "Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However," there's a catch, "there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Boaz's answer is yes, if. Yes, but. As I often say, no wedding ever goes off without a hitch. That's kind of a joke. No wedding ever goes off without a hitch. Anyway. Boaz is going to be happy to marry Ruth. This would be a great thing for him. But there's one problem. Though Boaz is a near kinsman, he is not the nearest kinsman. There's a closer kin with first dibs at redeeming Elimelech's land and marrying his daughter-in-law. Now here's proof that Boaz was a principled man. Remember, this story takes place in the days of the judges. At a time when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You remember that from our study in Judges. Everyone, that is, except Boaz and except Ruth. Notice, in an age of compromise, it is so refreshing to find two people who are willing to do things God's way, by the book. Hey, this was risky, no doubt about it. This required faith. Bo and Ruthie were in love. Marriage is the goal here. What if this near kinsman exercises his right? Boaz will be busted. But Boaz, you see, believed in doing things right. He believed in God and trusting God. He knows that God is in control. And if God wants he and Ruth to marry, he knows that God can pull it off. God will see to it. Boaz knows that the worst move he can make is to take a shortcut. Guys, when we take matters into our own hands, when we try to manipulate the situation, we mess it up. Always.
So many times, people are looking for a good love story. If you're a parent, you wouldn't mind your kids being in the know of a clean love story that doesn't have all that extra content. Well, did you realize that the Book of Ruth is this very thing? It's a beautiful story of two widows and their journey back to the homeland of the older Naomi. It was a foreign land to Ruth, but she embraced it with grace, trusting that God would lead her in what she was doing. In an amazing way, God had all the pieces come together so that she was provided for and loved in a very unique and special way. You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. To learn more about this ministry, head over to sandyadams.org. Once again, that's sandyadams.org. While you're there, check out Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain, under the About tab. We'd love for you to stop by and see us. It's so great to know how our listeners are impacted by this ministry. Another way you can reach us is over the phone. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. Once more, another way to contact us to let us know how you're growing and what you're hearing is by calling 770-736-2828. Well, that's all we have for today, but we'll connect with you next time on Sandy Adams Radio.